Thank you, Ray. That was well presented, that last incident. Immediately, my experience came into contact. It was just lately. The power of Jesus, I've said it once or twice before, and some will know what I'm talking about. The power of Jesus. I was in Godrich in a courthouse, and there were three inmates that were in prison in London, sitting there rehearsing what they experienced in London. And this one man, they were sharing with each other, and I was just listening. There was a few of us. And this one man took the name of Jesus in vain, again and again and again. And something, the Spirit told me, something's wrong here, and speak up. And I just gently asked him, do you know Jesus? And the power that went over that group there, to me it was nothing I did. There was a spirit that we all want. Take the name of Jesus, say it. Often I come back to Romans 10 where it says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And through the blood, absolutely. I have my message lined out. It's pretty well Luke 1, 2, and 3. You mostly know what it's about. And there's always this why is all this birth and all this sanctification and this cleansing, and we need to be cleansed. Why did Jesus so want his people to believe him, to trust him? And he knew what is prepared. There's only two destinations, and our spirits will be in one of them. I would like to have a little brief, but let's go to prayer first. Heavenly Father, I come before you, helpless as dust. You love your people. You love your people Israel, which in my mind, in my vocabulary, is Christians. Those who seek you, you so love them. Lord, help us spread the gospel in truth, in honesty, and give you the honor and the glory. You are the only one in the whole wide universe that deserves that honor and the glory. Our fleshly blood, our flesh is so prone to run away with it. And you hate a proud and haughty spirit. Father, help us be humble and contrite, like these incidents that we are going to look into. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen. Jesus did not want us to end up in hell. It may be not a good subject, and I don't want to tolerate talk long about it, but we want to get a little glimpse of what hell is, as that is where Jesus wants us out. He does not want us to go there. The birth of Christ and the salvation plan that was set up there all the way through, the whole sequence through the four Gospels, is basically to keep people come back to him, to worship him, to adore him. Hell, what is that? In my mind, it is a fire that does not consume. It produces its own pain. There will be no babies there. There will be no young children there. There will be no animals, no birds. It is a horrible place, and God will not be there. There will be no mercy, no love, no compassion. That's where he wants us to believe in Jesus, to trust him by faith. That incident that Ray spoke about that witchcraft. Truly, let us cleanse ourselves from all those things, thoughts that enter our minds. This is what all this is about. In Luke 1, we'll start in at verse 5, the birth of John the Baptist foretold. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. This does not mean they were sinless, of course, but that they served God faithfully. Blameless means no accusation could justly be made against them. That's where Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were not sinless, but no accusation could justly be made against them. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. This was the ritual that he had to do, the office he had. It was his duty to do it. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. That is something through the scripture, when an angel appears, it always seems fear, trembling, enters. He was troubled, and fear fell upon him. He was nervous. He was at a loss. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not. Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." This is what the angel was telling Zechariah. And he said it precisely. And now the answer to what Zechariah is what's so profound. It's so human, so natural. And Zechariah said unto the angel, "But whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed." This sentence here, "because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." Because thou believest not. And if we carry on here, the biggest sin a man can commit is not believe. I always thought there are certain deeds a man, when I say a man, it could be anybody, certain things that are serious, but it is unbelief. Unbelief keeps us out of heaven. And it goes on, "And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless." He couldn't speak. He was dumb because the angel immediately, there was a punishment for his unbelief. "He beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6th month of the the angel of Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Now the next thing is, the same angel went to a city in Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. One of the historic fundamentals of the faith is the virgin birth of Christ. It begins with the supernatural conception of Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary without the seed of a man. The miraculous birth is verified by the statement that she was a virgin when she gave birth to Christ. By means of the virgin birth, Jesus had the human nature of his mother and the sinless divine nature of his father. Those who deny the virgin birth tend also to deny his deity. So must necessarily question the integrity of the scriptures. The miracle of the virgin birth involves the yieldedness of Mary. This attitude is reflected in her last recorded words, which are a good standard for Christians today. Those words in John, when Jesus committed the miracle, or the lack of wine. Jesus said they had no wine. Mary said they have no wine. And Jesus said, "What is that to me?" And then the rulers came, and Mary told them, "Do what he says."
Whatsoever he, Jesus, saith unto you, do it. That's where we all stand today. Do it. But Mary's response here to a virginous boast, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled also, same as Zechariah, at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She had questions too. What is this? What does it mean? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. We hear that so often, but the immensity shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. That phrase I have heard often. And here in this context, it enters perfectly. Virgin Mary, with child through the Holy Ghost, through the Spirit. But now the main thing, or a profound thing, the reaction of Mary. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. He was immediately satisfied. Look at what, and God, another place it says, God loves a humble and contrite spirit. And to me, that statement is very evident here. And God, when he looked over his creation and looked for someone for his son, he picked someone humble and loving and tender and compassionate. I do not believe she was a haughty, proud, arrogant, froward person. And in Zechariah's state there, it was more, it's opinion, I better leave that. But then, after that, Mary visits Elizabeth. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? This was Elizabeth's statement. Elizabeth's Lord was Jesus Christ, and she already knew this, I presume. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Blessed is she that believed. Here we all stand. Blessed is those that believe in Jesus Christ, God Himself. Jesus Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit are one. And then the next few verses are very touching, verse by verse. The title is The Magnificat. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. This was Mary speaking. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. She had every reason to do that. Submissive, humble. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. Again, she prays to God. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth shall all generations call me blessed. This was her own observation of what was happening. She was trying to cope with these things as they were coming about. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him. Again, fear God from generation to generation. That carries on till today. Those that fear him, those that fear to do wrong, fear sin, but those that fear God, because the consequences will be huge. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath put down the mighty from their seats. And before that, the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Help us all to be of that low degree, that low. When we carry on, it is very obvious. The very example of Jesus was lowly. He was born in a manger because there was no room in the inn. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And that particular word, Israel, I like it. He hath opened his servants, Christians. But it could also mean this, the country of Israel or the church of Israel there. As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. In Matthew, I think it reads, Joseph, he had a mind to put her away. But God did not allow that. He sent an angel there and told him this was a sacred thing. And he is not to. And he accepted that. But then it goes on there. We'll skip a few. The birth of John. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zechariah, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." And they said unto her, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name." And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing. See, John could not speak. He was dumb because of that little bit of unbelief there. His name is John. He asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelled round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. We can imagine. People are not different now anymore than they were then. And fear came on all that dwelled among round about them. All these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. Gossiped. He passed it on. But it was a sacred thing, therefore, maybe you should not put it in the category of gossip. What manner of child? And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. Zechariah's prophecy from then on. I'll just read that and then we'll go to chapter 2, the birth of Jesus. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be safe from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts all the day of his showing unto Israel. Here in verse 74. "That he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear." In another place it says, "Fear God." There's a different kinds of fear. I'm not sure if I qualify to explain the difference. Bear with me. I had an experience. I was helping to move a gentleman, and obviously he didn't have much trust and faith. We moved him upstairs and into a room, and he had tremendous fear somebody would steal his belongings. There were three of us, and he went up, and we went up and down. He always locked the door. Every time we went away from that door, he locked it. And there was hardly anything in there. He had a fear. It was understood more what Revelation says there. Them that fear those that fear have no faith, no trust, no, they shall not inherit heaven. It's very cut and dried. And there was more of understanding what, but then the fear of God is the trembling of doing wrong. I would sure love to hear it from someone that is better with words, but nevertheless, there is a difference there. The birth of Jesus, chapter 2. And it came to pass on those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one unto his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Something we hear every year, and yet we need to be reminded again and again, the humbleness this couple had. They were satisfied to be out in the barn, had this child born and laid him in a manger. And I just thought to myself, if those in those times, if the people in the inn, in the hotel, in the where they sleep, knew what was going on, there would have been people in there that said, come on in, I'll go out. I'm sure there would have been some people, but it doesn't say that. But still, the fact remains, there was no room. Obviously, there was. Probably they didn't know it. But God, in his love and mercy, I always tend to think, reading the scriptures, taking it as a whole, there seems to be more tender love and mercy for the poor and those that hardly have anything than for the rich. Then it goes on, the shepherds and the angels, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Here again, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Whoever, to all people, I think that all means whoever accepts him as Savior. Glad tidings, great joy, because whoever doesn't accept him is already damned. Until he sees the light and comes to the light, he will have every privilege to confess and repent. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. These shepherds out there in the country were told they shall find him in lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." A host of angels, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Men and women. Here, men means women too, I'm sure. And it came to pass, as the angel was gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. This is the mother of Jesus. All they that heard it wondered of those things which were told them by the shepherds. And now, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She just kept them in her heart and pondered because of the way this child was, the whole process of bringing that child to earth was a wonderment. She could hardly comprehend everything fast enough. Later on, when Jesus was in that temple with the scribes and Pharisees and the doctors of the law, and Joseph and Mary, they were on their homeward journey again and discovered Jesus was not with them, so they went back a day's journey and found him with the scribes and the Pharisees and the doctors of the law. And Mary reprimanded him as a mother, reprimanded him. And then Jesus' answer was, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Here again, Mary kept pondered that in her heart. There was something phenomenal going on here. She could not, her body was not, she was learning day by day, just as we are growing in faith, growing in knowledge and wisdom. It's a process that'll carry on and on till the last breath. And oh God, help us all to cling to our Savior. He will not let anybody down. He has the very hairs of our head numbered. He sees a little sparrow fall. I remember when I was a little boy lying in the haymow, putting in time basically is what it was in the haymow. And I've seen all these sparrows coming and going and fluttering, and often some of them fell. God remembers everyone that fell. He knows it. He's right here. He's everywhere. He knows what's going on. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The presentation in the temple. Back to where Jesus, he was growing, and he was about 8 days. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The Jews, I take it, there was some kind of a ritual they had to go through, circumcision. That's a different, I did not look into that much. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, these next few verses has often been a very consoling thought to me. Both Simeon and Anna give praise. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. It was revealed unto this, I take it was an elderly man, very feeble maybe, that he should not see death. His body will not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. God's Son, the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit. Something told him that he should go into the temple. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. He was so relieved. He was rejoicing. I take it he was an old man and he wanted now to die. He was waiting for this very moment to have Jesus in his own arms. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Again and again we see those phrases. Jesus is the way, the door, the gate to the sheepfold, to heaven, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. This phrase here, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people. It must have been the Gentiles seemingly took to Jesus quicker, faster. They didn't know. And those professing scribes and Pharisees, so precise on the law, I'm going down a wrong or a unprepared track too. But there seems to me the Gentiles were more readily, more like the thief on the cross. Doesn't say that he ever was baptized, that he ever went to church. But he understood here was an innocent man. And he was killed the same as the rest of us. The other two, he reprimanded the other thief, said, I deserve this. We deserve this. This is an innocent man. So the Gentiles seemingly are quicker. But that's maybe a judgment statement too. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Joseph and Mary were still trying to grope with what was happening. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against.
Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.
When Jesus was on the cross, I think that is where it referred to. She was pained deeply. And then there's another one. And there was one Anna. I find it interesting that here it was first an elderly grandfather, and now Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, she was old also, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. But served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. I forgot. Now it's coming to that where Jesus was in the temple. I think we'll read that on till the end there. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they supposed him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Why wouldn't they be? This was God himself, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, all in one. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. This was mother. Typical motherhood takes care of her children. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That is the process of the birth of Christ. And what does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? Then I come back, as I said in the beginning, where it says in Romans 10, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then Jesus' mother, there in that marriage feast, do what he says. That means for me too. I'm talking as much to me as anybody else. We need to exhort each other. There is a life or death for the spirit. Our body will die, decay. Simple fact. We'll turn back to dust where we came from. But the spirit will live forever. And then each decide for himself. I plead, come to Jesus. I sincerely plead. Jesus Christ. That's what all this, once a year, we commemorate for this very thing. And there's many out there have a whole show of lights and gifts and what have you, and even Santa Claus, and don't understand at all what the real issue is. But I dare say, too, there's many that have a deep down inside unction. There's something dramatic, something huge. And they're trying to learn. So let's set an example. God bless you all.